Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, the Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's trivia questions come to us from the websites onthisday.com and billboard.com. Question number one. It was on this very day that Jimmy Davis became the governor of the state of Louisiana. What else was he known for? Was it A, he won a dozen dance marathons held throughout the nation? Was it B, he wrote the song, You Are My Sunshine? Was it C, he could whistle Dixie while eating spicy crawdads? Or was it D, he was actually known for all of the above? So, which of those is true about Governor Davis of Louisiana? And question number two, a fill-in-the-blank question this week. What is the title of the shortest Billboard Hot 100 number one song? Hint, here's a short sample of that short hit tune.
Just a little bit.
What's the title of this shortest number one song anyway? The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from that same website, onthisday.com. It was on this very day, back in 1973, that Mick Jagger added $150,000 of his own money to the $350,000 raised by the Rolling Stones' January benefit concert for victims of a Nicaraguan earthquake. That was 1973, today. And it was 51 years ago today, 1975, that Stevie Wonder and his band Wonderlove played for 125,000 people at the Washington Monument as part of Human Kindness Day that was held on this day back in 1975.
Bed and I stumble to the kitchen, pour myself a cup of ambition and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the street the traffic starts jumping. Folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5, what a way to make a living.
Dolly Parton's 9 to 5 introduces our country music news. It's titled Musicians Hall of Fame inducts 12 new members, including Dolly Parton, Keith Urban, and Michael McDonald. This is published in Billboard.com on the 29th of April, 2026, by Jessica Nicholson. On April 28th, the Musicians Hall of Fame welcomed a dozen new members as it inducted its ninth class during a ceremony held at the Fisher Center for the Performing Arts at Belmont University in Nashville, Tennessee.
Same boat with a lot of your friends, waiting for the day your ship will come in, and the tide's gonna turn, and it's all gonna roll your way. Working 9 to 5, what a way to make a living, barely getting by, it's all taking and no giving, they just use your mind, and you never get the credit, it's enough to drive you crazy.
Peter Frampton honored the late pianist Nicky Hopkins, known for his work on albums by The Who, The Beatles, The Kinks, and The Rolling Stones. Frampton called Hopkins a piano player's piano player. While Hopkins was honored by performances of Sympathy for the Devil, Revolution, and Angie, Vince Gill then sang a tender rendition of You Are So Beautiful. Sheryl Crow presented the honor to Dolly Parton. While Parton is known for writing and performing all-time country hits like 9 to 5 and Jolene, she's also a multi-instrumentalist, playing guitar, banjo, piano, dulcimer, and more. Gill presented the Musicians Hall of Fame accolade to McDonald, saying he possesses maybe the most identifiable voice. McDonald then sat at a keyboard to perform rousing versions of What a Fool Believes, and was then joined by his fellow honorees and the evening's presenters for an all-star rendition of Taking It to the Streets. And he'll end today's program, by the way, with that tune. Each new class of inductees reminds us why we'll do what it takes to do, preserving and celebrating the legacy of the musicians who bring songs to life. Vivaldi's The Four Seasons Spring introduces our classical music news. Spring Highlights. This is written by Emily Moss. WCPE's Quarter Notes, Spring 2026. On Memorial Day, Monday, May 25th, in 2026, we gather in solemn remembrance to honor the sacrifices of the fallen through music that speaks to loss, reflection, and hope. The morning will begin with familiar and patriotic music, with a moment of silence to reflect. We'll feature music written by American composers and music that stirs the heart. At 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, join us for Carl Jenkins' The Armed Man, a Mass for Peace, a powerful and deeply moving work that confronts the realities of war while ultimately calling for understanding, reconciliation, and peace. Join us for this meaningful musical tribute as we remember those who gave their lives in service and reflect on the enduring pursuit of peace and freedom. Request programs. Step into the role of maestro during our special classical music request weekend. Join us Friday from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. and Saturday from 6 p.m. to midnight as you choose the music that fills the air. From Beethoven's towering symphonies to Tchaikovsky's impassioned concertos and Mozart's radiant sonatas, the classical canon is yours to explore. Shape the soundtrack of your weekend, share the works you love, and listen alongside fellow classical music devotees. Tune in and let the music be guided by you. That's WCPE, the classical station, 89.7 on your FM radio dial. And in Music Research and Technology, we have this article titled, Warner Music Group, Protecting Artists in the AI Era. This is published in Time Magazine, May the 11th, 2026, by R.B. It's not the first time the music industry has reckoned with vast technological change, but many artists and industry workers worry about generative AI will devalue human-made music. Warner Music Group, which owns a portfolio of labels including Atlantic and Parlophone, aims to shape how the new tech is used. It's really important that companies like us stand up for artists and songwriters. Do it early and do it together with AI companies, says CEO Robert Kinchy. To that end, WMG is lobbying for the No Fakes Act, which would protect the voice and likeness of all individuals from unauthorized computer-generated recreations, forging partnerships with leading AI music companies to ensure AI tools are trained on licensed music and installing non-negotiable clauses, including that artists and songwriters will have a choice to opt in or out of any use of their name, image, likeness, or voice in AI-generated songs. Michael Jackson's Man in the Mirror introduces our rock and pop music news. It's titled, The King of Pop Gets a Not-So-Regal Biopic. This is written by Stephanie Zacharek in Time Magazine on May the 11th, 2026. If you knew nothing about Michael Jackson, if you had no clue about his almost unfathomable gifts as an entertainer or troubled legacy, Antoine Fuqua's workman-like biopic, Michael, would be a fine and satisfying movie. There's lots of triumph over adversity and a few eureka moments showing a very young performer learning to flex his formidable powers. The film ends on an up note with Jackson, played by Michael's nephew, Jafar Jackson, doing an admirable job of channeling his uncle's charisma, performing before an arena of adoring fans in London in 1988. It's not that any of these vignettes are inaccurate. It's just that they fall so far short of the complete picture that they barely capture the essence of Michael Jackson. He was an entertainer who brought intense joy to others, even as he could barely find it himself. Scenes in Michael are the most exuberant and the most affecting. It's wintertime in Gary, Indiana, 1966. Tiny Michael gazes from the window of his family's small home, watching kids playing in the snow. His father, Joseph, barks at him to rejoin his brothers. The boys who would become the Jackson Five are lined up like loyal soldiers, ready to rehearse the performance their father has engineered for them. Young Michael has little confidence and goes through the motions of performance, not so much dancing as jiggling in place. Joseph berates him. The boy's mother, Catherine, gazes sympathetically from the sidelines, but doesn't dare speak up. Later, in response to some minor infraction, Joseph cracks his belt across little Michael's butt. It hurts, probably a lot, and Michael cries. These early scenes are unpleasant to watch. They're also the ones that feel the least burnished and the most truthful. The rest of Michael, which was written by John Logan, focuses largely on the fraught father-son dynamic, as if highlighting one elephant and highlighting it only to draw our attention away from another. The Jackson Five become stars, but Michael, by age 10, arguably one of his era's great soul singers, is clearly the anchor. All the while, young Michael arrives to wiggle out from under his father's meaty thumb. When the Jacksons are signed to Motown Records, Michael astounds Berry Gordy with his version of Smokey Robinson's Who's Loving You? The sound, it's Michael's voice we hear on the soundtrack, by the way, resonates like an ancient missive of heartache, rather than as a young man emanating from a 10-year-old. Later, he'll try to grab more freedom to make his mega-seller Thriller. Joseph's sour, angry face is paradoxically the movie's guiding star. He controls the narrative as he controlled his son's life. Did Jackson ever really free himself? The movie, made with the blessing of Jackson's estate, doesn't go anywhere near the allegations of sexual abuse later filed against the performer. But to deny Jackson's complexity only flattens his genius, as well as his kindness and fragility, into something manageable, explainable. In the end, Michael does the same. No one could survive being Michael Jackson, not even Michael Jackson. In death, as in life, he deserves much better than family and friends who'll milk him for all that he's worth.
Since the return of my stay on the moon, she listens like spring and she talks like June. Hey, 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 hey. Well, tell me, did you sail across the sun? Did you make it to the Milky Way to see the lights all faded and that heaven is overrated? Tell me, did you fall for a shooting?
This is Drops of Jupiter by Train, who will be in Raleigh on July 16th. Our local music news. Who's playing at Music Park at Walnut Creek in 2026? This is written by Simone Jasper, News and Observer, May the 3rd, 2026. Whether you're a fan of rapper Lil Wayne or the jam rock tunes of the Dave Matthews Band, you may be in luck. That's because the popular artists are among several set to perform in Raleigh through the fall. From country to R&B, the 2026 concert lineup at Walnut Creek is full of outdoor shows to help you take advantage of the warmer weather. Here's where the venue is located and how to get tickets. Coastal Credit Union Music Park at Walnut Creek is located at 3801 Rock Quarry Road. The outdoor space holds 20,000 concert goers. The venue has a designated spot for Uber and Lyft pickups, and there are also parking lots on the property. The venue has a box office on site, which is open on concert days starting at noon. If you prefer to get your tickets online, entertainment company Live Nation sells them at LiveNation, that's one word, .com. And here's most of the acts that are already scheduled. This coming May the 8th this weekend, Kid Rock. May the 19th, Pitbull. June the 5th, Dave Matthews Band. June 7th, The Black Crows. June 10th, Keisha. June 20th, Hank Williams Jr. July 11th, Paul Simon. July 16th, Train, the group playing in the background now. July 17th, Phish, P-H-I-S-H, by the way. July 22nd, Death Cab for Cutie. July 29th, Toto and Christopher Cross. August the 7th, Tim McGraw. August 22nd, Jack Johnson. August 23rd, Billy Idol. September 11th, Stained. September 19th, TLC and Salt and Pepper. And September 26th, Lil Wayne. So, how did you do on today's trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, it was on this very day that Jimmy Davis became the governor of the state of Louisiana. What else was he known for? Was it A, he won a dozen dance marathons held throughout the nation? Was it B, he wrote the song, You Are My Sunshine? Was it C, he could whistle Dixie while eating spicy crawdads? Or was it D, he was known for all of the above? Correct answer? Answer B, he wrote the song, You Are My Sunshine. As noted in an article titled, Jimmy Davis, the Sunshine Governor, published in 64parishes.org on May the 13th, 2019, by Glenn Jeanson. Even after the ascent of Ronald Reagan, entertainers who became successful politicians remained the exception rather than the expectation. There was little precedent in the era before Reagan entered politics for the dual career of Jimmy Davis, a country western singer who sold millions of records and was twice elected governor of Louisiana. The tall, quiet-spoken entertainer spent most years in music, then in politics. But with his soft, drawling voice and easygoing manner, he warmed the hearts of many Louisiana voters. Like the self-effacing character he played in such Hollywood cowboy movies as Cyclone Prairie Rangers and Frontier Fury, he gave the impression that he was less concerned with personal ambition than with helping his neighbors. The article skips down and ends with this. Davis enjoyed a remarkable life. He was elected to important public offices, wrote or popularized songs that became standards in country and gospel, sold millions of records, and appeared in Hollywood movies. He is best remembered for You Are My Sunshine, which received a Grammy Hall of Fame Award in 1999 and was named as one of the quote-unquote songs of the century by the Recording Industry Association of America. He was not courageous in his position on desegregation, but did as little harm as possible. His political legacy in Louisiana is largely positive. Davis lived to see his third century. He performed four songs at his 100th birthday party and died at home in Baton Rouge on November the 5th, 2000. And the answer to our second question, what is the title of the shortest Billboard Hot 100 number one song? And for a big hint, I played a snippet. Well, actually, it was almost half the total length of that short tune. Correct answer to this fill-in-the-blank question is Stay. As noted by Gary Trust in an article titled 64 Fun Facts from the Billboard Hot 100's First 64 Years, published on August the 4th, 2022, in Billboard.com. This song was written and sung by Maurice Williams in 1960. This number one hit's runtime is only 1 minute 38 seconds. The shortest Billboard Hot 100 number one song. So, let's close out today's program with Michael McDonald of the Doobie Brothers taking it to the streets. As noted earlier in this program, McDonald was just inducted into the Musicians Hall of Fame on April 28th, and he performed this very song to close that show with all of his fellow honorees joining him in the singing of this closing tune. Here then, taking it to the streets, the Doobie Brothers and Michael McDonald. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program's also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. As we leave you now, remember these words. Kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. Content of this program intended for people who are blind or print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information, or to schedule a piano tuning, please call 919-779-1755. So long. Until next time.